Shalom Aleichem. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Baba Kama Tzadi. Hey, we're in Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. We're going to be starting towards the top of the Amud, starting with the words Tanur Rabbanan. We are going over Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was of the position that Shinui is not going to be Kona. You steal an item, the item undergoes a change. And as a result of that, consequently, you're going to return the item as is. Okay, this question of whether or not returning a stolen item as is or whether or not you have acquired it through a shinui, so that has been a machlokas. Presumably it's a machlokas, between Meisham and Beisilo, right? I say presumably because, go over yesterday's daf, go over the first two dapim here of the ninth parak of Baba Kama, right? It seems pretty straightforward. It's a machlokas, tanayim. But yet, you can push back on that a little bit. Anyway, but let's, at least from the beginning, let's keep everything as simple as possible. And that is that the halacha is shinui kona. Okay, that's the halacha. It's so much easier to say. And let's just say it as simply as we can. You steal an item, you render a change in the item, a physical change in the item. So you've acquired the item. Now, acquisition of the item over here does not mean you're a good person. You're number one, you're a thief. Number two, you have now disabled your ability to return the item. And the proper tshuva of once you have a stolen item, the proper tshuva is v'heishiv es agzela. Meaning if you want to do correct tshuva on an item that you stole, so you return the item which you stole. So if you steal an item and you make a shinu in the item, so you're not that doesn't qualify you as a good person. However, you've acquired the item. This is a halach of shinu ikona. This we already were introduced to in the opening mishnah here of this ninth parak. The mishnah says, "Hagoz leitz and vasim kalim." So if I steal wood, and I make a kli out of that wood, so at that point in time, you're kona. You're mishalim kishasek zela. Now, obviously, you have to make restitution that which you stole. So what we're going to do is that we're going to take the item which you stole, assess it at the time of the theft, whatever its value was at the time of the theft. You make restitution on that value, and that's it. And as far as the item itself, because you made it, you're a kona. Good. So that's what we've established since the beginning of the parak. What we've been discussing and litigating is that there are numerous tanaim out there who hold that shino bim koma omeid. Abai collected five tanaim. That was yesterday's daf. Five tanaim are of the position that shino bim koma omeid. And so therefore, even though our mission tells us that shino is kona, but there's another side to that. And that is that there are almost a half dozen other tanaim who are of the position of shinui bimkoma omeid. Meanwhile, at the end of yesterday's daf, really at the bottom of the amud aleph of yesterday's daf, so Shmuel's of the position of shinui's kona. And what about Shitas Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan, we got a little bit stuck on Shitas Rav Yochanan. That's where we were on Sadi Dalamud Beis. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So we are now on towards the top of Sadi Dalamud Beis. It's there are two dots. It's the last two words in the line. So Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to see a braisa. No, we did this yesterday, but good. We get to review. And that is, so if I have somebody who lent with interest, and so therefore all that interest accrued and was earned is all done illegitimately. You're not allowed to lend money to another Jew with interest. He did so. He then went ahead and took that interest, gained from that interest, alternatively, a gazlan, somebody who just simply stole. So ein mekabel mehem, so what the chachamim are masakin, that if they want to do tshuva, you do not go ahead and get back the ribbis. You do not go ahead and take back the item that was stolen. And anyone who accepts them from them, the chachamim are not going to be pleased with the action of returning the item. Don't return the item. So this is obviously in of itself, by the way, just in other words, without any context whatsoever, the price over here is nearly impossible to understand. Meaning someone steals an item from you and what's the instructions given to you by Chazal? Don't return it? Meaning the Torah says, v'heishiv es hagzela. So it's just on the simplest level, it's very difficult to understand. But obviously we're learning it in the context of the Gemara. We're going to learn it with context. I'm Rav Yochanan. So on this statement, so Rav Yochanan explains, Bimei Rebbe, Nishan's Mishnah Zoom. As far as this brisa was concerned, as far as this legislation, it was Bimei Rebbe. It was during the period of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who is obviously the editor of the Mishnayos, living at the end of the second century. about 100 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. So he is the one who legislated. And why? So the time we learned in the Braisa, Maisa Ba'ad, the Mechad Shebikesh La'asos Tshuva, Amar Lo Ishto Reika Imato, Se Tshuva Afilo Avneit Ein Shalcha. So there's a guy who spent a career lending with interest, gaining from that interest, and now he was wealthy. And all of his wealth is a result of the interest that he charged. And now he's getting on in life, and he wants to do tshuva. And so he turns to his wife and says, look, we're going to just have to give up everything because, all right, everything over here is illegitimately gained, and I want to do tshuva, and I want to return everything. So his wife said to him, what, are you crazy? Right? So sometimes the wives are great influences, and in this particular case, opposite. So the wife was not a great influence, and she said, are you crazy? In other words, you understand that if you want to do tshuva, you're going to have to take off the belt from your pants, and you're going to have to give the belt back as well. Like, well, no, don't do tshuva. That's such a terrible idea. So, v'nimna v'lo'os tshuva. So at that point in time, so then he refrained and he didn't do tshuva. In other words, he understood that the ramifications of having to do tshuva would be basically to give up everything, and he wasn't, slash his wife wasn't, ready to do that. So, ba'osa sha amra gazan imavi b'riv v'shech zira imakaba mehem, v'amakaba mehem in rucha chamim noche emenu. So Rebbe made some unbelievable legislation, which is that, you know what, we want to promote people to do tshuva. So in other words, in order to facilitate tshuva, what we're going to tell the victims is, you know what, they're going to want to return it back to you, don't accept it back. Okay, which again, if you just...
What's the answer of
Hashem? Yeah, so in other words, the Hashem is exhale, but the Chachamim have the ability to go ahead and to legislate. And based on, I'm guessing, based on Hefker.
Don't give it back.
In other words, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's court is telling the Nigzal is that don't take it back. In other words, just accept an apology. He wants to do tshuva, accept the apology, and move on. I say it right. It's unbelievable. It's very difficult. And as I pointed out yesterday, so Tosos has a discussion of whether or not this legislation was just for that one period of time. Or was it for that period going forward? Right, Tosfos has a fundamental debate, Rabbeinu Tam, at the beginning of Tosfos. So he says that legislation was only for that tkufa, not for before, not for after. Anyway.
His wives wouldn't be able to discourage
Shuvah. Yeah. Right. Okay. So the Meisvei, so the Gemara says, okay. So we just learned together that there was a takana not to accept for the Nigzal not to accept the stolen item back in return. So he niach lem avia marshal ribis afa pi shein yodin shein ribis ein chayavin laachzer. Okay, so meanwhile the Gemara says, let me show you another brayso, and the brayso is like this, right? The kids just lost their father and they inherited an estate, a significant estate. Now it happens to be that what did dad do for a living? Everybody in town knew what dad did for a living. He lent with interest. And so all the gain that the father had and the entire estate that the father had was ill-gotten. Dad lent with interest. And so now the kids are inheriting that. And so what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, "Afa pishein yodin shein ribis ein chayav lahachzer." Yeah, the kids know it's ribis, but the kids don't have to go ahead and return it. Okay. Now, you read the Braisa, and you read the Braisa carefully. How does the Braisa sound? What's the diuk in the Braisa? Inhu hu delo havim chayav lahachzer. Oh. So in other words, it's a patur granted only to the children, but had the father been alive, the father would have to return. And so what we're learning together is, this is obviously a kasha in the previous brisa. In the previous brisa, we said that a mavla beribis does not have to return. And over here in this brisa, the diuk is very clear. Only the children who acquired it via Yerusha, only they don't have to return, but the mavla himself, of course, he has to return. So the Gemara says no. B'dinu davim nami enuchayv lahachzir. No. They don't make the diak in the rice. So the truth of the matter is, the father, had he been alive, didn't have to return. The reason why the Brisa was focusing on the children and the estate is because the Brisa wanted to make a contrasting point, which is, let's say that instead of the estate being money, something liquid, let's say the estate was durable, real items. Let's say a para. Or anything that is mesuyim, any item, and chayav lahachzir min kavod aviyim. So tani reisha nami bididu. So for something like that, meaning, well, let's say what dad stole was a para. So if that soul was a para, so then the children are going to have to return it. Al kibud avaim. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But in other words, that's why the Braisa gave the example of the children. Meaning, had it been that the father had been alive and the ill-gotten gains was interest-bearing loans, the father also wouldn't have to return it based on the gzera, based on the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It just happens to be that the Braisa was talking about the children via Yerusha because of the contrast between if the children acquired money, inherited money, that they don't have to return. If the children inherited a para, that they do have to return. Because of the mitzvah of kibud av aim, the Gemara is going to say. Let's see the Gemara inside.
When you say aim chayiv, it means you definitely but if you want to do it, you could do it.
Okay. Well, hold it. Now, v'mnei kibud av aim chayiv lahachzir ikrei kam v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or and ba'ose ma'isa amcha. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So you're telling me, let me get this straight, that there's the mitzvah of kibud av aim. In other words, and what happened was that the father went ahead and stole a para. Father died. The para now is going to Yerusha to the children, and now the children have this mitzvah to honor the father and to return it. The Gemara says, "Wait 1 second. This mitzvah of kibud is for your father. There is a mitzvah of kibud avim that we know. In fact, last week's parsha, it's one of the Aseret Hadibros, number 5, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, there's a mitzvah of kibud avim." But that mitzvah of kibud is only v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or. Only when you have somebody who is compliant with Torah and mitzvos. If you have somebody who is not compliant with Torah and mitzvos, so there's no chiyuv of kibud avim. And yes, our Gemara is saying very clearly that if the father is not compliant to Torah and mitzvos, so then there's no mitzvah of kibud avim. There's so much to discuss on that particular point, which our Gemara just assumes, of course, is in fact the case. We're not going to discuss it in detail, but it's a piercing point of the Gemara and one that requires a lot more study. But anyway, okay, let's just work with our Gemara. Our Gemara assumes that if there's no mitzvah of kibbut, so let me get this straight: the kids who just yarshin the para from the father. So they have to return it to the nigzal. Why? Because of the mitzvah of kibud av aim. Yeah, but the father was a gazlan. So if the father was a gazlan, meaning if you're telling me they have to return it because they have to return it, okay, that's one thing. But if you're telling me that they have to return it only alt kibud av aim, the Gemara says, yeah, but there is no mitzvah of kibud av aim in this case. So kedamer of Rapinchas b'shas tshuva achinami b'shas tshuva. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about where dad died, and dad died as a Baal Tshuva. Meaning, yeah, in Achinami, dad was a Gazlan, but then dad died as a Baal Tshuva. The obvious question which everyone here is wondering, really, dad is such a Baal Tshuva. So let me ask you a question. If dad is such a Baal Tshuva, why is the Parah still now in the possession of the father? So the Gemara says, well, hispik l'achzer achemes. Gemara says, I'll tell you what happened, and that is that as dad is approaching his last days, so he's thinking to himself that, look, in other words, I'm going to go to Shemayim, and meanwhile, I'm a Gazlan, and meanwhile, I still have the Gzela, so he makes a declaration, I want to return it. So at that point in time already, now he's a Chozer B'Tshuva. And not only does he want to return it, he's going to return it, but lo hispik, he just simply didn't get enough time to do so. But in other words, that was his ratzon, and the Gemara clearly is of the position at this point in time. Now he is registered as a Baal Tshuva. Now the children have an obligation to honor him. What's left in the estate is a Davar HaMesuyam. In other words, it's an item clearly which is a stolen item. Everybody now knows that this item was a stolen item. So in order to give kibrav, so the children are going to go ahead and return it. They have an obligation to return it out to kibrav. Okay. Now that was a very long walk, admittedly, that back and forth over there, still in yesterday's daf. But the point of all this is that the Braisa over here is not Akasha on Takanas Rebbe. Takanas Rebbe is at Amava Baribis. So in other words, if he wants to do tshuva and he goes back to the people that he charged the interest with and said, I'm really sorry, I want to return it to you. So Takanas Rebbe is that they shouldn't be accepting the money back in order to be able to facilitate tshuva. Again, it's rather remarkable, but that's Takanas Rebbe. And then we just learned together a braisa regarding the returning of the children not having the need to return money that they inherited from the ill-gotten gains of their father, who charged interest his whole life. But the Gemara says on that, the truth of the matter is dad also wouldn't have to return it. And the only reason why the Braisa was talking about the children is contrasting money to a para. Okay. Tashma. Okay. So over here, another Braisa. And in this Braisa, so as far as the Gazan is concerned, as far as the Malva Bribis is concerned, so what are they required to do? Return it. Return the money to the victim. So Gazan and my shigavu ika I gazo gazo vilo gazo lo gazo. So over here, when it describes the gazanim, so we're talking about that which they collect. What do you mean that which they collect? So in other words, are we talking about a stolen item or not? If we're talking about a stolen item, what does it mean that which they collect? So alaim a gazanim a mainu malva beribis afa pi shigavu machzirin. So anyways, in terms of the correct reading of the Braisa, when we say gazlanim, then what the Braisa immediately does is it teaches. What does gazlanim mean? It means malva beribis. So when I have somebody who charges interest and collects the interest, so machzir is after return it. Okay, good. So now we have read the Braisa properly, and now that we've read the Braisa properly, now the kasha is obvious. Meaning we just learned together legislation by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which is that you don't have to return the ill-gotten interest, and over here in the Braisa it says you do. Amre machzirin ein mekabla mehem elama machzirin let's see de shemayim. So the Gemara says, okay, here's how you're going to read the Braisa. When the Braisa says return, what it means is that you should offer to return. But in other words, but as far as the Nigzal is concerned, he should decline. So then what's the point of offering to return? Tshuva. In other words, the offering of the return is a Maisa Tshuva. Latzeis Yidei Shemayim.
He gets no credit because he knew they're not going to accept
it.
Okay. Okay. I hear your point. In other words, right? The Taina right now is that it's insincere. In other words, that you know that the person is not supposed to accept it, so where's the sincerity in the offering to return it? Good. I hear.
Yeah. Because you're not allowed to give. If somebody asks you for
the risk. Yeah. Okay. It's a good point. Oh, okay. Good.
I might still accept it, so he takes
the risk. Could be. Tashma. Haroin v'agabim v'amochsim, chuvasim kasha, machzirin l'makirin. Okay, here we go. Another braisa. Right? The preponderance of braisas that clearly indicate that there is a required to return, and meaning it's difficult. That's why the Gemara here is going so long. That's why we're going so long on this topic, because there really are numerous braisas, and it really is the easiest way to say it, and that is that you steal, you have to return. So over here, another braisa, where I have shepherds, gabayim, amochsim, right? Gabayim are tax collectors, amochsim, also tax collectors, right? Different types of tax collectors, but anyway, so they went and they collected, illegitimately. In other words, once you have license to collect taxes, so in other words, you can abuse that license very easily. So and people did. So even though afapi, right, I added those words. So tshuva san kasha. So to do tshuva is very difficult, but machzirin lemakirin. Now why is tshuva so difficult? Because imagine now that with your license to collect taxes, you go door to door and you collect, a little bit more than what you should. You're going to be able to remember and keep accounting of, I stole that much from him and I stole that much from him. It's going to be very difficult. The point is, the Braisa says, is that, look, do the best job you can if you want to do tshuva, which is a return. In other words, the monies that you know that you stole, you should be returning. Okay, so anyway, but the point over here of this Braisa is really clear, and that is, you have a requirement to return. Amre machzirin vein mekabla mehem, ve'el alama machzirin latzeis yidei shemayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're going to read this Braisa the same way we read the previous Braisa, and that is make an overture, right? Offer to return it back, but it doesn't mean you're actually returning it. So, Yachi, am I Chuvasan Kasha? And on top of that, the Gemara says, okay, now how did the Braisa describe it? Chuva is very hard. Chuva is not very hard. Meaning if all you have to do is just offer to return the money back, I don't know, Chuva is not that hard. And Ema Seifa, Va'od Ema Seifa. And the Gemara says, and on top of that, look, you're not saying the right shot. I know you're not saying the right shot. Because Ein Makirin Yaseh Bahem Tzarchit Tzibur V'amar Chista Bar Shinchon Ma'aras. Now, let's say you stole all this money. You spent a lot of years stealing all this money. And Pasha, you don't know who to return it to. So what do you do with that money? Public goods, public needs. So give it to the public. And Rav Chista explains, Baron Shechen Ma'aros, meaning make water reserves for the community, right? I'll say build a mikvah, but I don't really mean build a mikvah. Meaning, right, in other words, make water supplies for the community. Use it to provide for the community. Don't keep the money to yourself. Okay, fine. So in other words, it's clear from the Braisa that in other words that ill-gotten money does not belong to you. You should be returning it to it. And the simple way to read the Braisa, and presumably the correct way to read the Braisa, if you can identify who the victim is, return it to the victim. And if you can't identify who the victim is, so then give it to the public. So Elo Kasha, kan kodem takana kan lacher takana. Okay, I don't know why took the Gemara so long to come to this, and the Gemara says, okay, look, I have braisas that tell me that you should return. That's kodem takana. In other words, all the braisas that tell me that there's a requirement to return, that's before the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And again, it's a push-up shot of the Torah. Veheishiv is exhali, return it. What about the braisas that says that you don't have to return it? That's after takana. Rav Nachman b'shein gzela kayames afilu tema ida v'ida lachar takana. Now Rav Nachman added the following, meaning. Rav Nachman modified, meaning we have a braisa with that learned that there was legislation that was put together by Rav Yehuda Hanasi. The legislation is that the victim should reject and decline receiving compensation for money that was stolen from them. That's the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. On that, Rav Nachman said, yes, but I have this following modification, significant modification. That's b'she'in gzela kayemes. That's when the stolen item is no longer there. Right? The afilu tema yidav yidav lachar takana v'lo kasha kan b'gzela kayemes kan b'she'in gzela kayemes. So that means like this. If you stole an item and the item is still intact, so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is not touching that scenario. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That's veheishiv as gzela. And now, in order for you to do good, to make amends, you return the item in which you stole. It's really that simple. The only legislation that was put forward by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is that you stole an item and the item is no longer there. The item was consumed. The item was lost. The item was stolen. Whatever. The item is no longer there. And now, so under those circumstances, now compensation. So now Rabbi Yehuda Anasi made a takana. If the item's not there, and now we're just talking about compensation, so there the victim should go ahead and decline offer in order to facilitate tshuva. Okay, so then we're good. Now, if that's true, if Rav Nachman's modification is correct, so now every braisa is solvable. Meaning the braisas that say you have to return, it's talking about what gzela kayemes. And the braisas that say you don't have to return, that's where the gzela is not kind. Very good. We're in the very top of Tzadi Hamad Aleph. So v'ha avnei. Just one more second. Let's just finish the thread. V'ha avnei the gzela kayemesi. But what about the braisa? Remember the braisa that introduced us to Takanas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and that was is that the wife said to the husband, Don't be ridiculous. Don't return all that stolen money. That belt you're going to have to return as well. Now, isn't that a davar hamikayim? So the Gemara says no. So my avne to me avne. No, it doesn't mean the belt. It means the me avne. Meaning, he didn't steal the belt. What he stole was the money, which then allowed him to purchase the belt. And then what he would have to do is he would have to sell the belt in order to return the item. But in other words, we're not talking about that. Particular case was not talking about where the gzela was kayim. That's talking about a case where it was money, and then the money was liquidated and turned into something else. One more back and forth. V'chol heichad gzela kayemes alav the rabbana takana v'harei meirish gzela kayemesi utanan meirish agazol shabana bebira. So yitol dama mimnei takanas v'shavim. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. What about meirish takanas meirish? So Takanas Meirish, which we're going to be learning about more in this Masechta, and that is the following. I stole a beam, right? I went to Home Depot. I went to Lowe's. I don't want to show favoritism one over the other. Okay. Although, if I may flex for just a moment, I recently just met again with the founders of Home Depot. But anyway, whatever. If you want to know more, you can ask me later. But I digress. So anyway, so you go to one of those and you steal their 2x4s, and you go ahead and you build a house. So the halacha is that obviously you want to do good, you have to return the, you have to disassemble the home and you have to return the beams. Takanas Meirish tells me the following, no. In other words, that's going to be very hard. I'm not going to be motivated to do tshuva. Here's what I do, I pay for it. It's really that simple. That's Takanas Meirish. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand, based on what Rav Nachman taught us, what do you mean pay for it? Is the item there? If the item's there, return the item. If the item's not there, so then you don't have to return anything. But over here, what is this Takanas Meirish? So the Gemara's explanation is, I read it, but now, no, I didn't read it. Shani Hasam, the Keva, the Ik, Apseda, the Bira, Shavir, Abanakidalesa. So the Gemara says, well, over here, look, disassembling your home, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. That's going to be a lot of loss. Meaning that's really a lot. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a Dover Hamiskayim, the stolen item, you're looking right at the stolen item, but because he kapseda debira, so the Chachamim treated it like it wasn't there. And since the Chachamim treated it like it wasn't there, now here, it's funny by the way, now I get to the end of the sentence and I myself am a little bit confused. Now, in other words, if the Chachamim treated it like it wasn't there, so then how much should you have to return?
Just the value.
I would have said just the value. But in other words, within the context of the Takana of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so if it's Kidalesa, so then how much do you have to return? The answer would be nothing. Because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the one who was Mesakein that the Nigzal should decline. Meaning if the item is no longer around, so then the Nigzal should decline. But obviously,
we treat it like
it's right, correct, 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 correct.
I wouldn't consider it something extended. If you have to dismantle,
The Gemara's not saying like you. I hear what you're saying, but the Gemara's not saying like you. Okay. In other words, the Gemara's assuming that you didn't change the beams whatsoever. In other words, it's assemble, disassemble. The Gemara's assumption is that there's no actual physical change. It's a shinui dahadra lebriasa. All you have to do is just simply, you know, take out the screws and it's the same item. Okay. Good. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to an end of a particularly long sugya, I have to admit. In other words, this question of whether or not there was a takana that was made by Rabbi Huda Hanasi, which is that the victim should decline to be reimbursed for that which was stolen from them. Which again, right, think about it, process it, it's really hard, but in other words, the motivation was clear. In other words, they wanted to facilitate people to be able to do tshuva. Okay, it's just from a legislative standpoint, it's very difficult to understand, but that's what we're wrapping our heads around. And what the Gemara noted is that there are many brisas, and aside from the fact that the simple pshat in the Torah is that, of course, for the gazlan to do tshuva, he has to return the item, but there are many brisas on top of that which indicate very clearly that you have to return the item. Finally, the Gemara said that with Rav Nachman's modification, it's a little bit easier to understand. If the gzeil is kayim, obviously you have an obligation to return it. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi never was talking about where the gzeila was kayim. The only thing left for discussion, if the gzeila is not kayim. If the gzeila is not kayim, then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made a takana that in order to facilitate tshuva, so you should decline. In other words, decline, reimbursement, compensation for the item, because the item is no longer there. Good. That's a quick synopsis of a particularly long sugya that we just covered. Gazva Paramu Bars Vialda Tana Rabbanan. So we're on Sadi Hamad Aleph, and we're about a quarter of the way down. So Agoza Rachel, the Gazva Par Vialda Mishalma Soveski Zusevas Veloso Div Rabbi Meir. Okay, so first, she does Rabbi Meir. On what? On the following. You stole a sheep. You were gozes. You sheared it. You stole a cow. The cow gave birth. So what do you have to do? So according to Rabbi Meir, you have to return everything. You have to return not only the animal, but you also have to return the shearings and the offspring. Okay, what is behind Shitas Rabbi Meir? Put a bookmark in this. We're coming back to it in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Gzeila Chozeres Beina. According to Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gzeila you're going to be returning as is. In other words, even though you stole a pregnant cow, you're going to be and the cow gave birth, you're returning the empty cow, the non-pregnant cow. Okay? In a moment, we're going to clarify according to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, but you're returning less value than that which you stole. hold that thought. We're coming back to that as well. And Rabbi Shimon Omer no sokilu hishuma etzlo bekesef. And according to Rabbi Shimon, everything gets estimated and approximated, and we're going to do an evaluation. Okay. And at this point in time, I'm not even going to bother saying pshat and Rabbi Shimon, because I know that the Gemara is going to do that later on. Okay. So the case is really simple, and what to do under said case. So that is open to not one, but three different opinions amongst the Tanaim. Again, the case is that I stole a pregnant cow. Number two is that I stole a sheep and it was laden with wool. And what I did is that I sheared the sheep or I deliver the baby. And so now what I have now is a sheep without wool. I have a cow without the baby, with no longer pregnant. So now I want to do a hashava. I want to return. So how do I return? So according to Rav Meir, give everything back. According to Rabbi Yehuda, just give the sheep and the cow back. You get to keep the shearings, you get to keep the offspring. And according to Rabbi Shimon, we're going to do some sort of evaluation. We don't even know what that means yet. Okay. Ibayulahu. So we are now going to break down this brisa step by step, shita by shita. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to wrap our heads around the shita Rabbi Meir. Ibayulahu my time to Rabbi Meir, Mishum de Kasavar. Shinu bimkama omer adoma ba'ama shinu ikona v'hacha kanas udeka kanis. So over here, Rabbi Meir said, return everything back. There are two ways in which you can explain Rabbi Meir. Explanation number one for Rabbi Meir is that Shino ibim kama omed. Rabbi Meir is of the position that Shino is not kona. Meaning, even though you stole the animal underwent a change. The animal was pregnant, it's no longer pregnant. Okay. It could very well be, so what? In other words, it could be that Rabbi Meir holds that even though the animal underwent a shinui, to go from a pregnant animal to a no longer pregnant animal, that is a shinui. But it could be the remnants of the position that shinui bim kama omed. Change does not affect ownership. And so therefore, who remains the owner? The nigzal. And so therefore, what do you have to do? You have to return everything to him. That's what...
It doesn't say you return the bowl. It says you pay.
Okay, very good. Very good. It's a good deal. That's one possibility. Or another possibility is that really Shinu is Kona. And since Shinu is Kona, so therefore what have you done? You've acquired. And so Hacha Kanasu de Kakanis. But over here is a Kanas. It's just simply a fine that's imposed by Rabbi Meir. Meaning, look, you're the Gazlan, you're in the wrong. And now what happened? So what happened was you stole a pregnant cow. Now the cow gave birth. Ah, Shinui, and now I'm Kona. So the truth of the matter is now I get to keep the offspring. So that all may be true, but Rabbi Meir will tell you, I don't want to reward the Gazlan. So what we're going to do to the Gazlan is say, look, even though may Iker Adin you've acquired it, but I don't want you to gain whatsoever. You're going to be returning the cow. You're going to be returning the offspring. You're returning more than that which you stole. That's called the Kanas. It's a Kanas that's imposed. So those are two different ways to understand Rabbi Meir. Lamai nafkamina. Lehecha dechachish michash.
It's a monetary payment, right?
Yeah.
He has to give him back what he has. He has to give him back the wool or the baby cow.
Yeah, or its value. Enechinami. Now, lamai nafkamina lehecha de machish. I'm sorry, lehecha de kachsha machish. So the nafkamina will be the following, and that is that let's see what would happen with Rabbi Meir. Let's say it went down in value. Now we're going to see which pshat is the correct pshat. Meaning, we're entertaining a case where it was pregnant and gave birth. That was an improved value, because now instead of one animal, now it's two animals. So that means that you have now more. Okay, now, let's go the other direction. Let's say there was a hachasha. Again, I go back to my standard case of, you stole an animal that was 200 pounds, and now you worked it to the bone, it's now 100 pounds. According to Rav Meir, now what's the pshat? If the pshat is shinu bim kama omeid, so what do you have to do? Return the animal. But my animal was 200 pounds when you stole it. Now it's 100 pounds. I know, but it's yours. That's if shinui bim koma omeid. On the other hand, if it's a kanas, so now if it's a kanas, what would you have to pay? You return the 100 pound animal, and you would also have to give the difference of those 100 pounds. Meaning the animal now is significantly less in value than it was when you stole it. We're going to do some sort of evaluation, approximate how much those 100 pounds is valued at. And then you're going to have to return that. So over here, predicated on our correct understanding of Rav Meir, we would see the difference in the case of Achasha. Okay, Tashma. So the Gemara is coming here. So let's say the following, and that is that you stole an animal, and now, or you stole an Eved Kenani, and now 50 years later you return it. Okay, I know. Now, by the animal, by the way, 50 years, it's ridiculous. Animals, you know, how long do animals live? The answer, of course, is I don't know, but not 50 years. So not cows. Anyway, don't matter. The point is that you understand the point I'm trying to make, right? The Eved Kenani, right? You stole the Eved Kenani. The Eved Kenani you stole was 40 years of age. And now the Eved Kenani is 90 years of age. Look, I'm really sorry. Here it is. I'm returning the Eved Kenani. Now, the Eved Kenani, obviously, its value is based on its ability to work. At 40 years of age, it could do good work. At 90 years of age, less so. Okay, and now, so what's the halacha? So, according to the Tanakhama, so what you're going to do is that we're going to go back to figure out how much that Eved Kenani was worth at 40 years of age. And that's what you want to do tshuva and you want to return, you're going to be giving the value of an Eved Kenani based on 40. You gave the Eved Kenani based on 90. Again, there's going to be a difference. You're going to supplement whatever that difference is according to the Tanakhama. And that's true, side by the Eved Kenani. That's going to be true also by the behema. Rabbi Meir Omer Ba'avadim Omer La'ari Shochalafanecha. Now, Rabbi Meir will tell you that when it comes to an Eved, Ha'ari Shochalafanecha. Now, the diuk over here is really simple, because Rabbi Meir is only saying it by the Eved. He's not saying it by the Behemah. What's the difference between an Eved and Behemah? It's very simple. Well, I mean, I say it's very simple, by the way. You have to know halacha. But it is actually very simple. What is an Eved Kenani halachically?
Karka.
What's the halacha regarding karka? Karka ain't an exalus. Okay. You have to know those two pieces of information. Once you know those two pieces of information, now we're good. So now, when you stole the Eved Kenani, did you steal? No. I know that's strange. But again, an Eved Kenani is like karka, and a karka is ain't an exalus. You can't steal karka. Okay, it doesn't have the status of nigzal. This idea of the karka ain't an exalus, we're going to be discussing extensively, if I remember correctly, in the 10th parak here in Baba Kama. But in the meantime, however, take those two pieces of information together. So now, when it comes to the Eved Kenani, so what do? You just simply return the Eved Kenani. 10 years later, 20 years later, 50 years later, don't matter. In other words, the Eved does not have the status of being a nigzal, and so therefore, you just simply return it as is. However, the ilu behima kishasek zela. Now, when you stole the animal was a strong animal when you stole it. And now you're returning the animal only at its really old age, and clearly it's not the same value. And so what do you have to do? Kishasek zela. Now, beautiful. Now we know correct pshat in Rabbi Meir. If Rabbi Meir hold that shinui is not kone, shinu bimkama omed, so when you stole the animal and return it, so what should you receive? A check for having returned the animal. Because shinui is not a kinyan. And therefore, I stole an animal, I returned an animal. It's 50 years later, don't matter. That's not the correct Pshan Rameir. What is correct Pshan Rameir? That really, you were kone. How were you kone? Through the animal advancing in age. That is it's a different animal. I was going to say new animal. Not new.
New old animal.
New, right. It's a different animal. You've acquired it through shinui. And now that you acquired it through shinui, so what do you have to do? So now you have to pay. How do you have to pay? Kishasek Zela. Okay, good. So now we now know that the pshat behind Rebbe Meir is that in the event that the animal was mashbiach, the idea that you have to pay the shevach on top of that, it's a kenas. That's the correct pshat. So shmamina. Shmamina because of Rebbe Meir shinu akorne v'hacha kenasu deka kanes. Amri. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but I'm not buying the raya. It's a good deal, but I'm not buying it. Army Rebbe Meir Ludivrem de Rabban Kamar Lahu. Rebbe Meir was not espousing his own shita, meaning Lidi di Shinu ain kona filo behema nami. So what Rebbe Meir is saying to the Chachamim is following: you want my opinion? I know you're not accepting my opinion, but if you want my opinion, I hold Shinu bimkama omed. Shinu is not kona. I feel like you could return the Eved Kenani as is. You could return the animal as is. That would be my position. Okay, but I know you're not ready to accept it. But Lidi d'chu. But look, even within your shita. So Damitzu Shinu Kona. I know that you hold that Shinu is a kinyan. Oh, Dili Mias Bav the Dikemakarke Dame and Karke and Exalus. But at least you should make a distinction between Karka and Behema. I say Karka, by the way. I meant Eved. You should hold that there's a difference between Eved and Behema. Because Eved is like Karka, and Karka ain't an exalus. And you know by Karka, you just simply return the Karka because you never stole it halachically. And the same thing true should be true regarding an Eved Kanani. And you should make that distinction. So, and Amrle Rabbanan lo, Avda kimataltale dame. And with a chacham, and we'll say back to Rebbe Meir, we don't buy that distinction because we don't think an Eved is like Karka. Okay. And remember, by the way, this equation of whether Eved is like Karka, Eved is not like Karka, throughout Shas, right? It's a little bit tricky to wrap our heads around whether an Eved is like Karka or Eved is not like Karka, and it really depends contextually what we're describing and discussing. And what the Chachamim are saying back to Rebbe Meir is that, look, you're right. In certain areas in Halacha, an Eved and a Karka are the same. How do you acquire them? Same. How do you acquire Karka? Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. How do you acquire an Eved Kanani? Same. Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka. But in other areas of Halacha, let's say, for example, here. In other words, you steal an Eved Kanani. It's now 50 years later. You want to invoke the principle that Eved's like Karka, and therefore all I need to do is just simply return it, meaning it'd be true by Karka, just return the Karka, and because Karka ain't an exalus, and you want to tell me the same thing is true by Eved, but obviously they're not the same. This Eved now is 50 years older, and you want to tell me now, just return it, everything's good. No, in other words, in this regard, we're going to be treating an Eved like Metaltel and not like Karka. Okay. So, we're
he has to pay more. What about the value when it was, like when it was stolen?
Yeah,
right,
good.
When it was added to it, it's his.
So good. So then, in other words, good. Very good. And now Rebbe Meir imposes a kenas on top of that. Good. Okay. Now, Tashma. So we're on Sadi Hey Amud Aleph. We're more than halfway down in the Amud. And so let's now try again. Again, let's reset. According to Rebbe Meir, you steal an animal that was pregnant. The animal now delivered. You now have two animals. So what do you have to do? So according to Rav Meir, you have to return both animals. Why? That's our question. Either because it's a shinu is not kona. That's number one. Alternatively, because it's a kanas. So far, we've been favoring the kanas approach, but we don't have definitive proof. Tashma. Okay, so let's wrap our heads around it. In the following, this is a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta. I say later. We'll see it in about a week from now on Daf Kuf. And that is, let's follow Adam v'tzava b'shachar, shachar v'tzava b'edom. I go to my dyer. Dyer, D-Y-E-R. So I go to my dyer and I say to him, look, all right, I need color over here. And I give him instructions. So a very clear order in terms of what color I want it. And then when I get it back, so I told him black, it came back red. I told him red, it came back black. Okay, so in other words, he didn't do good by me. Okay, so now Rebbe Meir Omer Nosin Lo Demet Simro. So, according to Rebbe Meir, what does he need to do in order to make restitution? So he just has to pay me the wool. I gave him wool. He ruined my wool. He has to give me back the wool, and that's it. So Demet Simro in, however Demet Simro Vishvacholo. Now, when he dyed it red, so what did he do? He also improved it. But that he does not have to give me. He only has to give me the Demet Semer. He effectively stole the wool. Now, I know the word steal is a strong word over here. It's okay. Well, I'm okay using that language. Because that's effectively the Gemara's point. In other words, he took my wool. He did not comply with my orders. My instructions were to give it one color. He gave it a different color.
Is that Gazelle or Gnema?
Okay, whichever. In other words, but the point is that, however, it's his now. He was Koned. And since he was Koned, so now he has to pay me. What does he have to pay me? So he has to pay me its value. Yeah, but its value now, in other words, its current value is that it's not just wool, it's wool that's red. Oh. It's seeing right. In other words, it has both its original value, and it's also got improved value as well. But he only has to pay me the original value of the wool, and that's it. Ah. So now the Gemara says, now let's consider. So Now, if Rav Meir is of the position that she knew is Eino Kone, so now this wool, which is now red, who does it belong to? If she knew Eino Kone, it belongs to me. So now, what should he have to pay me? She have to pay me both the value and the Shevach as well. Now, granted, by the way, it gets a little bit complicated because obviously my dyer added invested money in it. Okay, so that's what's called Yitzios. And yes, that's going to get deducted. But if she knew his Eino Kone, so now what he should do is that the wool at its original value was $100. I'm just throwing numbers out. And now that it's red, it's valued at $200. So he should give me $200. In other words, again, what you'll do is you'll deduct the Yitzios, meaning he invested money in it. You'll take that and you'll deduct. I don't know how much the dye was. $20 doesn't matter. So let's say the dye was $20. Take that off. So in other words, but he should be giving me $180 as reimbursement. Now, so the El Alav. Let me first finish. So El Alav Shmamina because of Rabbi Meir Shino Kona V'Hachik Knaser Dika Kanes. Ah. So the Gemara says that really she knew his Kona, and so therefore really the dyer acquired the item, and so therefore the only thing we're looking at is a Kenas, but over here we're not going to Konas. In other words, over here the dyer made a mistake. So under these circumstances, so what the dyer needs to do is just simply pay the wool, and that's it. In other words, the correct understanding of Rabbi Meir is that it's a Kenas. It's not a function of she knew Kona, she knew Eino Kona, really she knew his Kona. And it's just a question of kenas. And over here, no need to make a kenas. We're coming to that.
If the woman is correct.
Okay, very good. So shmami now. So the Gemara says good. Now ika da amra halo ibaylan midapech rav v'tini. Now the Gemara says okay. So did everyone follow that back and forth? I hope so. I realize that was a little complicated. But over here now, if you want. You have my permission to forget everything we just did, because now what we're going to have is another version of this discussion where the Braisa was flipped. Rav, when he taught the Braisa that we just went through together, he flipped the Braisa. According to Rabbi Meir, when the Eved that was stolen or the Behemoth that was stolen aged significantly, and now according to Rabbi Meir, what do you do? Kishasek Zela. Now I know that's confusing because just 10 minutes earlier, we did this brisa where Meir made a distinction between avadim and behema. Over here, this is an inverted version of the brisa. Rav felt that this is the correct use of the brisa. Now, v'chachamim amrim ba'avadim amr la'arishel cholafanecha. Now, v'adai l'Rabbi Meir shino ikone and hacha kenasu deka kanislei. So the Gemara says now in this inverted version, it's so simple now to say the pshat over of Rabbi Meir, which is. It's a kenas. Kika yibaylan hachi yibaylan kika kanis bemezid av abishogeg lo kanis odim afil bishogeg nami kanis. And now the only thing left for litigation is the following, and that is that we know that according to Rabbi Meir, so that let's say there is in fact a kenas that was imposed by Rabbi Meir, where you steal an item and now the item is improved in value. And so now, for sure, according to Rabbi Meir, there was Kones, that part's clear. Is the Kenas going to be in the case of Mazid? That's clear. Is it also going to be in the case of Shogig as well? That is left to be determined. Tashma. Chamisha govin mena mechurarin ve'elohein. Okay, now here's my dilemma, and that is that I know how complicated this next proof is, and I know the time. So what I'm going to do, I don't want to, but I'm going to do it anyway, is we're going to pause over here. And tomorrow we'll start. Let's what's it called? I'll move a little quicker tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll start with this proof of the five items where you're only going to be able to collect from assets on hand. There's no shibud. Okay, we'll do all this tomorrow. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, shinu ikone. So number one, that's the halacha. Despite the fact that in yesterday's daf we learned together many. Various tanaim hold that shinu is shinu bim kama omid, but shinu is kone. Okay, that part's clear. A takana that was made by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? It's almost unbelievable to say, but in other words, we spent the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, going over the takana Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which is that the victim should decline to get reimbursed for the item that was stolen from him. Why? To facilitate tshuva. That's rather remarkable, but Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made such a takana. However, we're also going to add that according to Rav Nachman, that's only talking about where the gzela is no longer kayam, and now he just wants to reimburse you for the item which was stolen under those circumstances. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was misakein. Decline. So that the ganav will be able to do tshuva. Good. That was the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Remember, Tosos, yesterday's daf, debated whether or not that takana was just for the tkufa of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, or it was meant to go even for future generations as well. Good. That was our first big topic that we discussed. Next big topic that we discussed is that what happens if I steal a para mu'uberes? It was a pregnant cow, and it gave birth. And so now, I, the goslin, have not one, but I have two cows. What do I have to return? Rav Meir says both. Rabbi Yehuda says, you get to keep the new cow. You return the other cow. Now, what about the difference in price between the pregnant cow and the empty cow that you return? We haven't yet to discuss that. We're still holding by Rebbe Meir. We're still litigating Rebbe Meir. And finally, there's a third sheet over there in that price of the sheet of Rebbe Shimon, which we haven't even touched. And what we did so far in today's daf, Tzadi Hei of Baba Kama, is that we're just trying to wrap our heads around the sheet of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that you have to return both cows. So what is that? Is that a function of Shinu Bimkoma Omeid, that you never acquired it because he's of the position that Shinu is not a Kona? Or no, Shinu really is Kona. It's just a question of Kanas. And right now, we have two versions of a Braisa. In version number one, we still conclude it's a Kanas. And in version number two, it's a Davar Pashut, that according to Rav Meir, it's a Kanas. Now it's just a question of to what degree he's going to be Kones, in the case of Mazid, or even in the case of Shelby.
Great. He's